Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Hi there.
BBC Radio 1.
Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
Good afternoon. It's nearly time to go home on Tuesday, and this is Scott on Radio 1. Thank you, Edith. Hey, Chops.
Are you all right?
Yeah, you're on a really high chair today.
It's like a stool. I appear to have been... There are only three chairs in the studio, and you and the one that doesn't speak have got the normal ones, and I've got the comedy one.
You have. Are you doing it to try and feel superior to me?
What, by sitting on a stool?
Yeah, just so you can look down.
No, not in the slightest.
Okay. Now, did you hear Adam earlier? If you listened to Sarah Cox, you would have done. He is one of our three finalists who wants to play me in Scott Mills, the musical. We found out a lot about him earlier on today, and we're going to meet him again just after 4:30. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah.
To be fair, since he did Sarah's show, which is a good few hours ago now, he's been sat upstairs with not much to do. Occasionally, I just walk past and go, hi.
Right.
He's been reading the paper and stuff and just hanging out in the office.
Did you not take him for lunch or anything?
Well, here's the thing. He seems like a really nice lad, but it's just a bit weird for me.
Why?
Because he might end up being me in the musical. And even when I was listening to Sarah earlier, it was just a bit weird to hear them talking about me. Do you know what I mean?
What, you're uncomfortable with people talking about you?
And it doesn't normally happen.
I love that.
I know, but in this particular instance, it's just a bit strange. Anyway, we'll speak to Adam again after 4:30.
Podcast.
Dave has been on and a couple of other people saying, how's Becky today? She's still off.
She's not here, is she?
She's not. Thanks for noticing earlier than yesterday.
I know, yeah. At least 15 minutes earlier today.
Because it wasn't until 4:30 that you realised yesterday that she was missing.
What's, is it still her face?
Yeah, she's been ordered. This is officially what the doctor said. You need to rest your big face, is what the doctor said. So,
what, officially? That's the official medical report.
Rest your big face. So
does she do that by not opening her big mouth?
I don't know. Her Playboy mouth. I hope she'll be back tomorrow, but I don't know.
Okay.
But hi, Becky. Get well soon,
poor
please.
Poor Becky.
Please get well soon. We miss you, man.
Yeah. You'd normally be sat on this comedy chair.
Yeah. Went to the cinema last night.
I do. What did you see?
Bruno. What?
Was it good?
It was. It's good, but... You know me, chappers, I'm not easy to offend or shock. It was really shocking, some of it. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
no.
My
I've
God.
Read a lot about it.
Some of it you think this has to be, surely has to be a setup, because he would get absolutely lynched by those people if it wasn't. Anyway, the most shocking thing, though, was when I went to the ice cream counter beforehand. Nothing went right last night.
So Sacha Baron Cohen's worked on this film for, what, a couple of years, 3 years, tried to make it one of the most shocking and yet funny things ever, and the most shocking thing that happened to you last night was a trip to the ice cream counter.
I'm not taking it away from Sacha Baron Cohen. He provided that, all of that, and, you know, 3 years well spent.
Yeah.
But when you go to buy some ice cream and they say, you can have some, but we haven't got any spoons, that is...
Oh, my God.
That's a bit rubbish.
Right.
Right? So the bloke's there and he's like, well, you can have it, but I haven't got no spoons. And you've got all this amazing ice cream staring up at you from the little thing going, please eat me, eat me, I'm really nice. Mm. What do you do? Do you go without or do you improvise?
Don't you just order a cornet?
Oh, yeah. They didn't offer me the cone option.
Well, there you go, you see.
I don't think they had any cones either, because otherwise they would have said about a cone, wouldn't he? Would you not? I should have maybe mentioned that. Anyway, what do? Do you improvise?
I think you improvise.
That's what I did. So I just stuck my face in the cup.
Oh.
With a little bit of help from the straw from my drink. And
classic.
It worked.
Yeah. Classic.
Bit, obviously, down the T-shirt, but generally it wasn't that messy.
You went on your own, I take it?
No, I was with a couple of mates.
Oh, right. Did they stick their faces in your ice cream
No,
as well?
No, they didn't. They decided not to improvise.
Right, okay.
They just had a drink. Also, can I ask, what is the etiquette with, you know, those cup holders?
Yeah.
Right? Are you supposed to go left or right?
Oh, I don't know.
Right,
it's like being at a posh dinner party, isn't it?
It's like knowing which knives and forks to use. I put my Coke in the right-hand one.
Oh,
this
no.
woman went absolutely bonkers at me.
I think you go left.
Why? Most people are right-handed, aren't they? I'm not, but I still went right, even though I'm left-handed.
Well... I think I honestly don't know.
You
I
should have heard that. Her. She was like I'd know that.
Maybe it's because your face was covered with ice cream at the same time. Maybe you weren't the best person to sit next to last night.
Good film, though.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast. So many people just improvise when there are no utensils available. Rob, like I did with the ice cream in the cinema last night.
Yeah. Well, I can understand that. Surely the other people improvise when they're not in public and maybe not eating ice cream. I don't know. I can't see the text.
It's always that thing when you go and buy your lunch and you forget like the takeaway fork or whatever. And
yeah,
you're like, oh, rubbish. Chewy from North Hants, similar predicament. Got around this by using two pens as chopsticks to eat the pasta. No, it's good. I completely, okay. I get that. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, who's that?
That's James.
Well, James, where are you today?
I'm in Craigavon in Northern Ireland.
How can I help?
Well, just, you know, you were saying about the improvisation. Yeah, well, me and my friends went to a Chinese. You know, we were coming home from Belfast that one day. We're like, hold on a minute, we haven't got a fork for this thing. So I whipped out my bus pass. You know, as you do, it's a little, like, credit card bus pass. As well as that, my friend whipped out a guitar pick. So we ate a Chinese just on the side of the road with a guitar pick and a bus pass, you know?
You see, you can eat a Chinese with a bus pass.
Yeah, you can. And a guitar pick, by the way.
Or,
you have a guitar pick handy, you know, you can use that too.
Yeah. Or any credit card or bank card, it's fine. You just scoop it up and off you go.
Yeah, and we're free as well. The government gets you out free bus passes.
Well, everyone's a winner.
Well, there you go. Free bus travel and a free utensil at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
You could have used your credit
card. Well,
you could have used your credit cards last night, couldn't you, to eat ice cream?
I think it's a bit harder with ice cream, I don't know. Loads of people are doing it, though. Like, people take their yogurts into work, they forget the spoon, can be eaten with a well-folded lid. You can just improvise. You don't need utensils anymore.
Your platinum one is strong enough, though, isn't
Shut
it,
up.
To eat ice cream?
let's
move
on.
You have your platinum one in one hand, your gold one in the other.
Shut up!
Or your first-class lounge airline card that
Whatever.
You have.
Whatever. Seriously.
So many options.
Look through my wallet and come back to me, yeah? Emma's been on from Bristol saying, what was the name of that amazing invention that you focused on last night?
Mm.
This is quite late in the show. She's thinking of having fish tonight and quite wants to get one.
She'll need this, then.
Well, Emma, this makes deboning fish so easy. It was called the Wonder Boner. Here was the ad.
Who wants to clean and debone them? I'll do it.
So loads of blokes fishing. Mm-hmm. No one ever says, oh, I'll do it, when it comes to boning the fish, do they?
No.
You want to do it? Just wait till you see what I've got. It's the Wonder Boner.
The Wonder Boner?
Oh, you laugh now. Just watch.
Yeah, he's right. They're laughing on the other side of their face when they find out how handy this is.
You just assemble the Wonder Boner stainless steel rods like this, take the fish, voila! The Wonder Boner. My wife would like that.
Yeah.
My wife would like that.
As we discussed last night, most people's wives would.
Well, they do, because otherwise they might end up having to debone the fish, and they That's don't right. want to do that. You
so,
know?
I don't know whether you'll be able to get hold of one for tonight's tea, Emma, but that's what it's called. It's the Wonder Boner. The full details are on the free podcast, which you can get, called the Scott Mills Daily. All the best bits from yesterday's show, like that, and also the 303 popping in, and oh, what's occurring? Download it at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1. Radio 1
Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Wow, so many people improvising with food. See, you don't need the fork or the spoon anymore. Rulers seem to be very popular.
Rulers?
Yeah, or yoghurt through a biro tube, also quite good. Someone claims you can eat a whole Chinese with just a cigarette packet and two fingers. I think I did quite well last night.
How do you do that?
I don't know. Just read the text.
I want to see you suck a yoghurt through a biro tube.
Do you now? Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast. No, Carlin Shrewsbury, I do not believe for one minute that you've eaten or drunk some soup with your tie.
No, I don't believe
That's
that.
That's ridiculous.
I don't believe Dave in Newcastle either.
What?
He's eaten a whole Sunday dinner with a table tennis bat.
Why not?
Because
I think that's
just
possible.
How do you cut? You wouldn't be able to cut anything. You just have to beat everything into submission with it.
Well,
to
yeah.
a pulp.
Beat, and then eat. Easy. Shovel in with the bat. I quite like
also,
to try
how
that.
How big is your gob if you can fit a sizable proportion of a table tennis bat into
I'd
it?
Like to try that. Maybe we could do that on a future What's Occurring.
What? How much of a Sunday dinner can you eat with a table tennis
yeah,
bat?
I quite like it.
Fair enough.
Also like Dean in Portsmouth, who had to eat a salad from a salad bar with his broken sunglass lens. You see, people really do improvise when there's nothing else around.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Wow, our listeners, sometimes they surprise me so much. Somebody on the text has eaten chips with just their fingers.
They're all, now it's getting ridiculous.
They're all born survivors, our listeners. Yeah. Whenever this music gets annoying, just say, it is the final three to play Scott in Scott Mills the Musical. We're doing this in Edinburgh on the 11th, 12th and 13th of August. And here's the first of our three finalists. You may have heard him with Sarah Cox earlier today. It's Adam Deitch off of Southampton. Hi, Adam.
Hello, Scott.
You all right?
I'm fine, thanks. Yourself?
Sorry if I'd... Yeah, good. Sorry if I had to wait around for so long.
Hey, it's been an experience.
Has it?
That's show business.
Exactly. It's just waiting around in the Radio 1 office. How was Sarah earlier? All good?
She was lovely, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, can I just ask, now that we're face-to-face, why are you doing this?
Why? Because it's you, Scott. Surely you should understand that.
Right.
I mean, it's a great opportunity anyway to be in a musical, but...
Have you always wanted to be in a musical?
I've wanted to be an actor, so this is good enough for me at the moment.
And what was the moment when you thought, yep, I'm going to do that, I'm going to apply and make a video?
You're one of my idols, Scott, so I thought, hey,
okay,
any opportunity I can get.
Who are your others?
Not you, chap.
No, that's fine. I'm just intrigued as to who else is on the idol list along with him.
No?
I think we'll keep that behind closed
doors. All right, okay, fair enough.
So, where did you make your video, please?
Not in the chair shop, like you suggested.
Yeah, it looked like it was in a crap chair shop. There's lots of swivel chairs and stuff. Could have been a gym.
No, it was actually a rehearsal space in a theatre.
Oh, okay.
I know, but now you mentioned it, I'm definitely going to get those chairs cleaned out, I think.
It's just not acceptable, is it, really? Strange. It looked a bit weird. So let's talk about if you are going to get the chance to play me, the audience will decide on Friday.
Yes.
In what ways are you like me, would you say?
Well, I've got a nice orange glow as chap is being blinded by at the moment.
Yeah.
It's not bad, that colour.
It's all right.
Really good, yeah.
It works well for both of us, actually. Yeah. Obviously, I've got acting experience, so I can deliver a good performance.
Yeah. I have been in The Bill and Casualty.
Exactly.
Have you?
Not yet. I will try and follow in your footsteps and those fantastic appearances. I just think I can do a really good job, really, and it'd be a really huge show for myself.
Hmm. And, I mean, the clothes are quite similar, aren't they?
Very, very similar, yeah.
Now, I have got a bit of a questionnaire that we're going to ask everybody, just so the listeners can get to know you a bit more.
Okay.
So, I'll start with this one. What's your favourite musical?
Right, I think my favourite musical... I really like the old Disney classics. That sounds quite... camp as you would, but you can't beat The Lion King and Aladdin, can you? Really?
Oh, they're winners, aren't they?
But I mean, I've seen quite a few musicals, and The Beggar's Opera I actually took part in once, and that was really good fun. But yeah, it has to be The Lion King, I think.
I think The Beggar's Opera is that not Bertolt Brecht?
It is. Look right, at you, Chaffers.
That was the school play that I was a prostitute in.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. So we actually
thankfully I wasn't in that performance. I'd say.
Yes, because we've talked about this quite a lot.
Yeah.
You were an actual prostitute in the school play.
Yeah, so that's right. Wow. Very good.
There we go. Be chappers in 20 years from now. Brilliant.
Do you have a nickname, Adam?
Well, a lot of people call me by my last name because it's quite an odd one.
Deitch.
Exactly. Well done, Scott.
Thanks.
But not really. My dad used to call me Ado Voice, which was a bit annoying. But nothing...
That's quite good. Can we call you that?
Please don't.
Okay. Have you ever sent a text message to the wrong person and regretted it?
Yes, definitely.
We were talking about this yesterday.
More of a case, there was these two girls and they were best friends, and I sent a text message to one saying she was better than the other one, and vice versa, and they happened to be in the same room at the same time.
Oh, brilliant. Well done to you.
And you can guess where that ended. Not well.
No. What's your favourite appliance?
As I hate to admit this, I do straighten my hair.
Yes, you see. Can we just high five on that, please?
Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
I touched Scott with his hair. Oh, my God.
Love it that it's hair straighteners. Favourite TV show?
Family Guy. It's always a good one.
Oh, yes. Do you have a pet?
Yes, a cat called Raggy.
You know it hates you, though, don't you?
She loves me. What are you going to... What?
I've got... we got science news coming up later on. Do you know I told you last week?
This is your theory, yeah.
Well, it is. Cats, owners of cats always go, oh, no, my cat loves me. They don't. They actually, they don't even like you. They hate you. And I have a scientific evidence to prove this after 5 o'clock tonight.
Okay. I'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah. Favourite Britney Spears song?
I definitely enjoy the videos more, I think.
Yeah? If you could pick anyone.
Break the Ice. I quite like her new stuff.
No, that's rubbish. Okay, we'll have to agree to disagree on that. What's the strangest thing you've eaten?
I don't eat a lot. I've actually got a phobia of food. I can't have wet food touching dry food.
He's got a brilliant phobia. Yeah. Okay, talk me through the phobia again.
Of wet food touching dry food.
So if you have like sausages and beans, the beans can't touch the sausages. Otherwise, you've got to have like a hazard zone where you sort of. Can't eat that sausage and that row of beans sort of thing.
Right. But you like beans and you like sausage.
Separately, yeah, they're fantastic.
But you won't eat them together.
No.
You can never have a cooked breakfast.
Just if you had, like, separate plates. I mean...
Wow. Okay, so...
I should have probably told you.
No. We need to know this, Adam.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Brilliant.
So, let's say if you did have beans and sausage, they would both be served on different plates.
Well, that just had to be, like, a half an inch... gap.
Okay.
Because obviously the beans have run as well, so you need to take that into account.
Right.
Because my mum's got very good of it over the years, so...
Oh, okay. But it's something you've had for a long time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Worst item in your wardrobe, please.
Has to be a bright pink flowery French Connection shirt.
Okay. When was that purchased?
It was purchased a couple of years ago. It was 50% off, so at the time I thought that was
a good
saving, but...
Then you got it home and
thought,
no.
wasn't, yes.
Yeah. Have you ever worn it out?
I wore it at my birthday party, and so I've got a lot of horrid images to remind me.
Did you wear it out down Eastleigh?
No.
That's where he works, they say. That's where my mum lives.
Okay.
See, we've already got that in common. It's where he works, in the Swan Centre in Eastleigh, where my mum often goes shopping, mostly to the Tesco, not so much to your shop, which
is the
game.
She should pop in.
Yeah. Who would play you in a musical of your life?
I'd like to think someone like Brad Pitt or George Clooney, for the fact then maybe I could watch them, think, oh, they look quite like me, and then not ever look in the mirror again, and basically if anyone tells me different, I've got the evidence that on stage that's what I look like.
Your worst ever impulse buy?
Again, the pink shirt, and I would appreciate if you stop bringing that up. I'm just trying to get over the memory of it.
Okay. So you've never bought anything off shopping channels like me when you...
No, thankfully. I've only just recently got a credit card for that purpose.
I ended up buying something called the Orbitrek Elliptical Glider, which I was convinced was going to shed pounds off me. But it seemed like a good idea after a bottle, but really wasn't. And it's now a coat stand at my dad's house.
at least it's versatile.
Describe Chappers in three words.
Here we go. Right, I've been thinking about this, actually, because... We had a little talk a second ago.
Yeah.
I think he's misunderstood, because he was really chirpy out the back, actually. So misunderstood, sensitive.
Mm.
He literally had on some of my problems.
Mm-hmm.
And,
did you?
And chaperific.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that could be good or bad, the last one.
What's your claim to fame? Have you got one?
Yes, when I was about 5 years old, I auditioned to be the Milky Bar Kid. And there he goes.
That's pretty cool.
18 years later, here I am on the Scott Mills Show. Oh, so that paid off.
How the mighty have fallen.
Did they ever get back to you?
I got through to like the last final, the last round, but I just didn't.
What's your guilty pleasure song?
I think Miley Cyrus. See You Again. It's quite
good. Fair enough.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's fine.
Uh-huh.
What's your karaoke song?
I've done I Believe I Can Fly a few times. I sang that at my prom.
Okay. And worst job you've ever had?
Don't say
the current one.
I should be there, actually, so on.
Sorry.
I think I worked in the Disney store, and you just have to smile the whole time.
Oh, yeah, they have to do that.
For an 8-hour shift, and
you sort of
walk home with a huge grin because you've forgotten how to frown.
Yeah.
And people find that quite strange on the street when you're walking up to them with a huge grin. So
you do have to greet everybody like, "Hi, welcome to Disney," don't you? Yeah.
Yes.
When have you worked in the Disney store?
I've been greeted many a time.
Have you?
What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you?
This one's going to make me sound really, really bad. I warn you now.
Yeah.
But so I was in a nightclub with a few friends, and a friend of mine said this girl was wearing a wig. I thought he was joking. As a joke, I went to pull it off. It actually came off. With me making the noise, woo, sort of, as I lifted it. I paused for about 5 seconds, put the wig back on, wonky, and she burst into tears.
Wow.
So it's more it was embarrassing for both of us. I mean,
you might have just lost a lot of votes.
But it was in the best. I mean, I just wanted to introduce myself and be friendly, really, and it just didn't work.
Didn't work.
If
you could have a backstage rider, a list of demands, which you can't, by the way, Adam, don't even think about it, even if you do win, what would be on it?
I'd go very diva style, like Mariah Carey, and have just M&Ms, but only blue ones, because I'm just certain. That's about it, really.
Okay.
Sausage and beans on different plates.
Yeah. They can't touch each other, darling.
A different waiter for each item of food.
And tell us, finally, a really useless piece of trivia.
Did you know that you've got more chance of dying on the way to get your lottery ticket than you have of winning it?
Well, that's useless.
I know, but
thank you.
That would make you think twice about buying a lottery ticket now. So.
Okay. That was good. Thank you. Passed that. It was all good. Thank you very much to Adam.
That'd be the end of your TV career, though.
It would, really. So
so you're not happy about that?
Don't spread that around.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Lots of people loving the wig story. Classic, says Bob on the way home. Scott, give him the job. Just because of the wig story.
Brilliant.
So, we found out a bit about Adam. We found out that he can't have his sausage touching anything wet. He is a failed Milky Bar kid.
Not failed.
Well, you are, because you didn't get it. Stay away from him if you wear a wig, and he thinks Chappers is chirpy out the back.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Are you going to find it hard having to play somebody with more life experience than you?
Funnily I think enough, he can step up to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a couple of years, is it?
Yeah, three, yeah.
3 years, you're 25, so...
Right. So it'll be fine.
Yeah.
I think you get that. Now, so we found out a bit about Adam. Let's see if you are any good at acting. This is Adam from the boot camp that we did at the weekend.
Hi, Zane.
Whoa!
It's me, Scott.
Who?
Oh, right, yes.
Ugh!
What do you mean?
Really?
Psst. Becky.
Don't mind if I do.
Really? Yes, Scott.
Obviously, Becky. That wasn't the order of events.
That just was kind a strange conversation.
Put that all together. So that was your acting. And I guess as a musical, we should hear you sing, really. So what are you going to sing for us? It's R. Kelly, isn't it?
It is.
And you have been practising it. So here it is. It's Bump and Grind.
And I'll see. No.
My mind's telling me no. I would like it if you did that, but it's not. It's going to be I Believe I Can Fly. Now, I do have a karaoke version here. You know me and my karaoke CDs. Right, so it starts like this. So do you want to go, I do, and I'll come in.
Oh, you're going to come in? All right.
Okay. Let's just listen to it, shall we? Should have done that in the first place.
Oh, sorry, can we start again? Oh, God.
It's all right.
That was Scott's fault.
That was my fault.
Thank you, Chappers.
It's all right.
Go!
I used to think that I could not go on, and life was nothing but an awful song. But now I know the meaning of true love. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. If I can see it, then I can do it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. I spread my wings and fly away. Oh, I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. And I believe I can fly.
Yes.
Wow.
Amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry I didn't count you in. I'm not good at that.
Hey, Scott, you're not.
Sorry, I'm just not. No, I just can't do this. No rhythm, like him.
Yeah.
So that's Adam. Adam Deitch, he wants
to
play
very good.
Me in Scott Mills' musical. Very impressed with that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in today, Adam.
Thank you for having me.
And we will meet another hopeful tomorrow on the show. Then on Friday, you, the listeners, will decide who plays me in Edinburgh at the musical. Thanks very much.
Woo! Podcast.
And now, science news. Haven't done this for a while, and I like it. Makes it sound like an intelligent show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this is Radio 1 Science News with Scott Mills.
So this is going to be some, like, medical breakthrough, is it? Or something to do with space?
Well, this is a story about cats. Remember I said a while ago that cat owners do think that their cats care about them? And they don't.
Yeah.
And here's scientific proof to back up my theory. Okay? Researchers at the University of Sussex have discovered that cats use a soliciting purr like this. To overpower their owners and get attention and food. Unlike regular purring, the sound incorporates a cry with a similar frequency to human babies. So they start going, and you think, oh, bless Tiddles, I better fill up his cat bowl. He's manipulating you. He's controlling your mind. Here is an actual doctor, Dr. Karen McComb, who carried out the study, and she'll explain it for us in a scientific way.
Ones that had a little cry embedded in them, when that was at a high level, it was causing people to find them unpleasant and urgent. And actually, interestingly,
I've got no idea what she's talking about.
The frequency of a...
Right, okay, yeah, I've lost interest. I don't know what she means.
She has actually spent her working day analysing how cats purr.
Yeah. Inspired by her own cat, Peepo. But she's done a study, yeah. She's been working on this for a while.
Right.
What she's actually saying, sorry I cut her off, but it was boring. Mm. She's saying is, that cats are manipulating. They do it by purring a lot until you give in, and they don't actually love you at all. In fact, they don't even like you, which was exactly what I said on the show
last
week.
Therefore, she has proved your theory. Well
done,
you.
And she's a doctor, and she's been studying it for a year. So that's my science news.
Well done.
Cats don't like you.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Okay, it's time for this.
Oh, what's the kidding?
Play along at home or in the car on the way home. 81199 is my text.
Oh, what's the kidding?
I always ask how you do and then never read any out. I do sometimes, but I will read some out today. So let
Are
me
you
how,
promising?
Yeah, let me know okay. how you score against Chappers. Send me a text when we're done. Thanks.
Oh, what's the kidding?
First one. You know Rob De Bank?
Yeah, I know Rob De Bank.
Good bloke. He's
very
on.
Nice man.
He's on sometimes very early in the morning on Radio 1. Mm-hmm. Have you ever listened to Radio 1 at that time of night?
Very occasionally, yes.
It's there's some truly amazing stuff on there.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you, like, I've switched on after being out or something, you switch on at 3 a.m. It's like, what is this? Some of it's odd, but it's always adventurous, new and good. Anyway, Laura spotted this. Remember Laura used to work on our show? Remember
yeah,
her?
Vaguely.
One Night with Laura.
Oh,
one
yeah.
Yeah, her. She had a diary. And she spotted this on Monday. Now, I thought, you are going mad, love, because she said, either I am going mad or I just heard Rob De Bank interviewing a dog on Radio 1. Now, Laura was working the early shift, you see, on Monday, so she heard Rob really early in the morning.
Yeah, okay.
Now, we check this out. She wasn't going mad at all. Rob De Bank was on National Radio 1 interviewing a dog called Rex. This is not any old dog, though. This is a dog that's done a mix for him.
He's done a mix for him,
yeah, called Rex.
And he played the mix out,
and
did he?
An interview with the dog.
An actual proper four-legged barking dog.
Now, I've got to say, this has been coming for a while, hasn't it? But Rob De Bank has finally lost it. I mean, we could see it coming, but
Had he had a week where he was quite short of material? I mean, anyway, we've all been there.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think even in my darkest days on early mornings though I ever interviewed a dog on the radio, did I?
I
can't remember.
No. Have you ever had a dog mix for you?
No.
Okay.
Don't think so. Anyway, my question to you is, during Rob DeBank's interview on Radio 1 with a dog called Rex, how many times did it bark?
How many times in an interview with Rob DeBank did a dog bark?
Yes.
Right. Are we quite short on material as well?
Wait till you hear it.
One. Once.
Once.
I think this is going to be an amazing non-barking dog.
Let's find out.
Oh, what's occurring?
Here's Rob DeBank on his show, which you definitely should listen to for random stuff like this, interviewing a dog.
Are you there, Rex? Rex, let me just check with you. Was your first ever single prototype in 2004? How many years have you been DJing for now, Rex? I'm not sure if that was 5 years or 2 years, but he's done a really brilliant mix, starting off with Kraftwerk and Vangelis. So is this a kind of peak time mix for Rex the dog, or is this a sort of home listening mix? I think that's is it a peak time mix, Rex? No, that means. So is it more of a home listening? I think that means not sure, but he's got everything on there from Kraftwerk to Vangelis. Where are you... I was going to say, where are you going to play next, Rex? But are you playing at the Melt Festival on the 17th of July? And are you playing at Creamfields on the 15th of August? Yes, he is. Thanks for joining us, Rex, and happy barking down there in Rexland. And we're going to play the mix now, so if you'd like to introduce it... Down, boy, down. There you go, that's Rex the dog.
Right, good. Oh my god. However, someone has pointed out on the text that we did have a parrot in once.
True.
So I have interviewed a parrot. Okay, so I'm... Yeah, I've also lost it. 25 barks from the dog that can mix.
Oh! What's occurring?
Well done to Julian on the text, who is very quick with "Shouldn't it be Kraftwerk?"
Good. Very good, Julian. Give yourself a massive round of applause.
That's worth a point.
Even if you're on your own.
There we are.
Could you get Rex to do the floor fillers for you?
I'd like that.
What's the strangest thing you've ever eaten?
I have no idea. Okay. You know, I'm very conservative with my diet.
I got asked that question earlier today because they were doing a kind of getting to know you section with Adam, one of our Search for a Scot people, and it was, what's the strangest thing you've ever eaten? My answer, he had to guess, my answer was sweetbreads. Look them up, it's not pleasant.
Okay.
Anyway, do you think people on Stupid Street are adventurous with their food?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. So what about if we asked them the same question? We went onto Stupid Street and we said to five people, what's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten? What was the most common answer?
It'll be some obscure animal. I reckon I'm going to go squirrel.
Squirrel. That's the most popular, right?
Yeah.
Let's find out.
Oh! What's occurring?
Here are the people on Stupid Street telling us about the strangest thing they've ever eaten.
So what's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten? Probably spam, which is like the thing you have in the war.
The weirdest thing I've ever eaten is coleslaw.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
I've actually eaten prawns at a Japanese food shop. It was quite gross, actually.
Prawns?
So what's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
Pizza with chips.
Why did you eat pizza with chip?
I don't know, but I also had ketchup, so it was just kind of like too tomato-y.
So what's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
Avocado.
Why is that?
I vomited. straight after eating it. Give me one at the moment, I'm going to vomit straight away. My body rejects it.
Was that you from yesterday?
What,
the last one?
Flying Jackson?
Yeah.
So what's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
Avocado.
Why is that?
I vomited straight after eating it. Give me one at the moment, I'm going to vomit straight away. My body rejects it.
I think he might have been doing an impression of me from yesterday. I'm going to vomit.
I went a bit too exotic, didn't I, really? Because you had...
You should have gone coleslaw.
The weirdest thing I've ever eaten is coleslaw.
Bless Stupid Street.
Oh! What's occurring?
Pizza with chips. I mean, you know, and if that wasn't wacky enough, she also had ketchup.
What a strange eater she is. Last one. You know Jeremy Kyle?
Yeah.
He's on in the mornings on the TV. Yeah. Gets quite annoyed with his guests, I've noticed.
Yeah. I can't watch it, but...
Why?
He just annoys me.
Mm. My question to you, how many times did Jeremy Kyle shout on today's show?
112.
You sure you don't want to go higher?
All right, 114.
Let's find out.
Oh, what's occurring?
Here's Jeremy Kyle having a smug rant like he does.
People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, little boy, get it? Shut up right now and point the camera at me. The only person on this stage who should admit to their faults is you. How to be a good parent in Great Britain in 2009. Buy them an Xbox and a flat screen television. What are you?
I will take a drug test.
What are you? And now she takes drugs. It just gets better. Well, you didn't tell us that, did you? Shut up and listen. I'm going to have a lie down because I'm suffering from stress.
Wow.
Did he actually say, shut up and point the camera at me?
Shut up right now and point the camera at me.
Yes, he did. 8 rants there.
I disagree with him, mate. The PlayStation and the telly actually works quite well.
Yeah. Let us know how you did, please. Radio 1
podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, who's that?
It's Heidi.
Where are you, Heidi?
I'm in Deal.
Deal?
Yeah.
Off of Kent?
Yeah.
How can I help?
Is it Harry Potter Day tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just asking, I love Harry Potter.
Are you very excited?
Yes.
Are you the one that sent me a text saying, is it Harry Potter Day tomorrow? Please say yes, my life will be complete.
Yeah.
And then, with, like, 27 A's.
Yeah. I text in, like, every day, but you never say my message.
Oh, well, hi, anyway.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, so, this is what's happening tomorrow, right?
Right.
All Harry Potter fans are absolutely going to love this.
Oh, my God.
Right, okay.
Good.
Right, listen, right, this is what's happening, yeah?
Okay.
So, it's when Dom met Harry tomorrow morning. So you've got to listen to Chris Moyles, okay?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Actual Dom and actual Harry Potter together, okay?
Really?
Yeah, really. If I play this, does this get you even more excited?
Oh, my God.
Listen to that. Right.
Yeah.
So, that's happening with Moyles. Then, Sarah Cox from 10 o'clock...
She'll be Skype off school. No. I can Skype off school.
Listen again.
Listen again.
Is the more responsible answer.
Listen again.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll be able to listen to it again on the website. Mm.
Okay.
Sarah's going to have Hermione in.
Really?
Really?
Oh my God.
I know. Then Edith at 1 o'clock will be live from the Harry Potter set.
Oh my God. Really?
Yes. Apparently, she's going to be in Dumbledore's office.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And she's going to be able to go wherever she wants on the set.
Oh, that is so cool.
Is she going to fly?
I don't know.
Is she going to play Quidditch?
Yeah.
Quidditch. Yeah.
Thing is, you might think, well, there's nothing going on the set because they've already made the film, but they're making another one now.
Yeah, I know. I know they're going to split it in two, aren't they?
I've no idea. But
you don't have to tell her that, she knows.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
So there will be stuff happening, and Edith will be all over the set tomorrow, right?
Oh, my God.
And then listen to our show from 4 o'clock because we've got Ron on.
I love Ron.
Don't we all love Ron?
Can't get enough of Ron.
Yeah. Ron rocks.
Everyone loves Ron.
Everybody loves Ron.
So Rupert Grint will be on this show, and he is part of Hog. What's occurring?
Hogwarts.
Hogwarts occurring.
Oh, wow.
If you're going to do a pod, you've got to get it right.
So that's all day tomorrow on Radio 1. I'm guessing that you probably will be there for as much as you can be, really.
Oh, of course I will.
And you can listen again as well at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Will it be on the podcast?
Yeah, it'll be on everything.
It'll be on everything.
Oh, okay, cool, okay.
Love you.
Love you.
Bye. Radio 1 Podcast. Anthony off Swansea's been on.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Mill, sorry about this, but I'll be listening to my local radio station tomorrow. Love you guys and the show and stuff. Can't stand Harry Potter. All right, well, okay, well, we'll see you on Thursday then. Just come back on Thursday, that's cool.
Doesn't he only...
See you soon.
But as regards us, doesn't he only have to miss Hogwarts occurring?
Yeah.
Really?
And even that's not really about Harry Potter, but Ron will be on.
Right.
The one with swine flu.
Yeah.
I like it that we got the one with swine. He's fine now. That'll be on tomorrow at 5:30. But
probably a punishment for you for not getting his name right.
Put it this way, because we're not like massive fans of Harry Potter, are we? In any way.
I think that's a fair description, yeah.
The bit on our show will be equally enjoyable if you are or are not a Harry Potter fan. Okay?
So no need to go anywhere else.
That's right. Now, Robin Cheshire's been on, and he was... You know when you're kind of half-watching the TV? It was kind of on in the background, but he was doing...